Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. My name is Pete Ellison and this is Dave Cribb.
Yo, yo, hello.
How are you?
Very, very well, thank you. Are you well?
Yeah, not bad. I'm not bad at all.
Good. It's a fun one today because this episode of Friends with Friends has been born out of a previous episode.
Yes.
And this is all sounding very cryptic, so rather than just continue the cryptic messaging, I will just explain what happened. Cast your mind back, if you will. If you're not a regular listener, when was she on?
Not that long ago.
3 or 4 weeks ago?
I don't know.
Can't remember. A month or so ago, we had the wonderful Lindsay Russell, Blue Peter presenter extraordinaire, on Friends with Friends. And during the episode, I would say 5 to 6 times she made reference to her roommate, Nat,
yes,
who is obsessed with Friends and knows more. And it was kind of like Lindsay was getting quite anxious, wasn't she? She was like, Nat's going to kill me if I get this wrong. Or
yeah,
Nat's going to tell me that I've made an error there.
Nat was the oracle compared to her.
Yes, exactly. And she spoke with such high regard of Nat that we had to get Nat on the podcast. So our friend this week is the wonderful Nat Main. Hi, Nat.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Welcome to Friends of Friends.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I've completely piggybacked on Lindsay's, you know, fame, success, fortune, everything.
Look, this is the way everybody...
But as is my life, and it's all fine. I'm very, very okay with it. I'm always like, I'm Kris Jenner to your Kim. I just am on everything you're on, and I'll just take what I can. My little 10%, and I'll be on my way.
So you have previously listened to Friends with Friends, that's right.
I have, yeah.
And had you had listened before Lindsay came on?
Yeah, well, she told me about it. I was like, because I basically, until a year and a half ago, didn't know how to work podcasts. I didn't understand. I thought you had to download an app. I didn't get it. And everyone was like, you love them, because I walk everywhere and always listen to music. So they said, download these podcasts. So I'd just kind of been introduced to the whole world of them a while ago and then didn't know this one existed because there are so many.
I don't know how, 25 million podcasts.
Like how you find one and you just type, like I would just type in kind of keywords for me, like Kristen Wiig. And I was like, what's going to come up? I don't know. Beyonce. And then just see what like was unveiled to me through Apple. So she told me about this and I said, that is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. Like all I want to do is talk about Friends and listen to people talk about Friends and see how my insights match and how it all goes. So
what happened earlier, Lindsay texted me, Pete, earlier today going, oh, you're doing the podcast with Nat today. And she said, really exciting. And then she said, I'm really nervous for you, though, because she knows so much about Friends. I worry she's going to show you up, basically.
That's fine. I mean, you're entitled to share what wide knowledge of Friends you have. That's what you're here for. I'm willing to be shown up.
Yeah, I'm nervous now, though, because I feel like I've been made out to be, as I am, like self-professed huge fan. But yeah, what if, like this quiz at the end, my palms are sweating. I'm already nervous because I'm like, I have so much clout in this world with Friends, family. I was explaining earlier that my brothers and I, our relationship hinges on Friends and nothing else. Like, if I get something wrong, I will be tail between my legs, walking with my head low for the rest of my life.
A lot of pressure on this episode, isn't
it? I know. Just on myself, really.
Nat has come dressed for the occasion, Pete. She's wearing an excellent t-shirt, which is a photo of Chandler, Rachel, Ross, and Monica, but in the flashback college days. So Chandler with his, like, sticky up hair, Ross with the amazing moustache, Rachel with her old nose, and Fat Monica.
Yeah.
Look, let's not put too much pressure on it. Let's all just have a nice time and talk about Friends. I think there's, you know, there's a worry that we're all just going to get very anxious.
Yeah.
And this will be a terrible listening experience for everybody if we do. So let's all just relax, guys. Let's relax and
chill
talk about our
out.
Favorite thing. So your relationship with your brothers relies on Friends, you were saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, entirely. We've become so much closer since they started watching, and we're all fans. And we've now, yeah, for the past few years, given each other Friends-themed Christmas presents. Like, my brother got me the t-shirt I'm wearing. It started when they got me together the AZ bookends, and they were the silver bookends.
Yes.
And I opened it, I just thought, this is the most thoughtful gift you've ever given me. Because I used to just get me, like, a gift card or some kind of nondescript clothing item.
That sort of present you get, like, your family member that you don't really know what they like.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And so then they did that, and I thought, and I was like, this is the beginning of a new era for the three of us. And so then last year I got them all the gifts that Joey and Chandler buy the gang at the gas station when they like
so the
forget.
Toilet seat cover.
Yeah, toilet seat cover, wiper blades, all, and they unpacked it like with each line as they unpacked. Again, because they don't really, it's exactly the same thing. They don't have a car. They don't eat, you know, lemon lime, Coca-Cola. Yeah. They loved it. My brother like reached for the condoms and he was like, these are mine. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
I was going to say, was that a slightly awkward family moment when
yeah,
you...
Yeah, exactly. It's like, And I was away, so my mom had to buy some of it. I was like, I'm not gonna have time to buy these items, and I need, can you like get this stuff for me? And she went, why? I was like, oh, it's from Friends, like, don't worry about it, just it's fine,
don't worry, just buy me a packet of ribbed condoms.
Yeah. Cheers, her pleasure. Yeah. Exactly, they need to be ribbed specifically. She's like, oh god, why? I don't want to know.
That is excellent. So how did you go about choosing your episode to talk about today?
I mean, it was so stressful. It, as I said to you, it was like Sophie's Choice, but it's like Sophie has 250 children and she's got to choose one. So many of my favorites were taken, sadly, but I...
So what would have been your absolute number one?
I think my number one would have been probably the one where no one's ready or the one where everybody finds out.
Yeah,
because they're just so good.
They're so good. I think the one where no one's ready, we've talked about it on the podcast before, so many people have tried to choose that because I think it is just one of the just the best episodes of anything.
Yeah, it's just a classic. And I, before I owned all the DVDs, I wanted them all in my parents as a warm-up. I think testing how deep my interest was got me this box set of four Best of Friends episodes. I think they were only from seasons 1 to 7 because the show hadn't finished yet.
Right.
And that was one of them. So like that one, the one with the football, the blackout. So there are a few that I know so well because I had those like... from the beginning. So I've chosen the one with the stoned guy.
Good. An early one.
Yeah, a really early one, which I chose mainly because I love John Lovitz in this episode. I think he's one of my favorite Friends guest stars. And he returns later in the series.
I mean, the biggest gap between appearances in probably the
nine years.
Yeah, it's a whole nine-year gap.
And I then realized watching it, there's so much foreshadowing in this episode of stuff that happens later in the series, like Joey teaching Ross how to talk dirty, which he does, you know, with his Western Europe backpacking story. And that's how Emma happens. Chandler ends up quitting his job down the line, you know, like so much
but
that
a
comes
lot
back.
Later, isn't it? Yeah.
Like years, like 8, 9 years later. And I thought, God, there's a lot of great little kind of beginnings here.
Does John Lovitz play the same character? Is that ever clarified? Is it supposed to be the same person or is it just, is it? I just thought, well, that's too, you know, guest appearances and not necessarily the same person.
Yeah, it's not made explicit, is it? They don't sort of say, hey, you're the guy from when you came around to our apartment 8 years ago, but it's the same character name.
Yeah.
And he's
Steve.
And he's smoking doobies in both. You know,
that's true.
He talks about losing his restaurant to drugs.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's that restaurant.
Exactly.
But
what's
weird is they never acknowledge that they ever met.
Yeah, I think that's why it hadn't occurred to me. It's like it's never sort of back referenced other than in things he says.
Right, exactly. Okay, well, hang on. Before we get into it, let's do the plot summary. It's season 1, episode 15, the one with the stone guy. Monica cooks a gourmet meal for a restaurateur named Steve, who's looking for a new chef. Unfortunately, he's stoned and would just as well eat taco shells as a haute cuisine, which is very flowerly written summary from Wikipedia. Meanwhile, after working as a data processing permanent temp for 5 years, Chandler gets promoted to a data processing supervisor, then quits, but takes his job back when he's offered more money. And Ross has a date with a beautiful colleague named... Colleague? What the fuck? Come on, Dave. You're better at talking than this. A colleague. Ross has a date with a beautiful colleague...
I'm sorry. That might have been me.
No, do you know what? It's just my brain. Guys, it's like we usually quite often record these in the mornings. It's 5 p.m. I think my brain's just shut down. It just can't read anymore. Third time lucky. Ross has a date with a beautiful colleague named Celia and gives new meaning to the terms. Oh, this is so weird. So I've basically never read these through before I read them out live. Yeah. And there's always very much a lot of editing. But this is what the Wikipedia plot summary says. Bearing in mind, they're usually very just matter of fact, aren't they? Ross has a date with a beautiful colleague named Celia and gives new meaning to the term spanking the monkey. He brings her back to his place to meet Marcel.
That feels like an unnecessary reference.
That's not really anything to do with
it. No.
And then the next sentence says, Celia is willing to have sex with him, but only if he talks dirty to her, which he cannot do, so he asks Joey for help. That is the weirdest way of summing up that storyline.
Yeah, such a basic, not basic episode, I love it, but I love it for its kind of simplicity of just the six of them, early days, no one's got together, nothing's complicated. Yeah. That's very fancy.
It's really great. And there's loads of, it's too fancy. But that is the best thing about this episode. It's so just nice to hark back to those days. Yeah, the monkey days, days where they're all just...
The old spanking the monkey days.
Spanking the monkey days. But, you know, Rachel just being a terrible waitress. There's the bit in the opening where she's put the cinnamon stick behind her ear and dropped the pencil with the eraser in Monica's coffee. And all there's just so many nice little bits where that's like, proper classic Friends in my, in my head and before, like you say, everything got really complicated. So we've got three storylines. We've got Chandler quitting his job, we've got Monica's chef audition, and we've got Ross's dirty talk. Where do you want to start?
Oh my God.
The choice is yours.
Wow. I mean, we could start with Ross.
Okay.
I guess, only because also I chose this episode because if you're a fan of The U.S. Office, Jan Levinson Gould is Celia.
So what?
Actress, yes.
How did I not clock that?
I know, because she looks like a completely different... She doesn't. She's just blonder when she's in The Office, but I didn't realize...
I love The American Office nearly as much as I love Friends, and I'm dismayed with myself that I didn't clock that.
And I only call it The Office, and since I've moved here, I have to, like, clarify that it's the American one. To me, it's the only one. Actually, maybe cut that, because I'll be slaughtered if that's released. But yeah, it's Jan. And I was watching it a few years ago and I went, oh my God, that's Jan. Also, Daryl is the guy who Phoebe goes to change her name
with.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's Daryl. Like, crazy stuff. So that's also part of why I chose it, because I thought, how weird that Jan is in Friends in this hilarious cameo.
I've just Googled it now and I can see it. But she does have completely different hair and is, of course, very much younger. So, But yeah, there she is. Oh my God.
How weird. Also, because she's screaming with a monkey hanging off her hair for so much of it. You're like, who is this woman?
Yeah. You're not really looking at her going, oh, where do I recognize her from? You're just going, there is a monkey on her hair. So let's start with Ross's dirty talk then. So this all starts quite gently when Monica's trying to sort this audition out and Ross is basically asking for restaurant recommendations. There's a couple of funny lines about, does anyone know a good place if you're not dating a puma?
Yeah.
After Joey tries to recommend this steak.
A 32-ounce steak. If you finish it, it's free. Oh, God.
And then we get, like you said, so we get to this scene where Celia has the monkey hanging off her because Joey has been... basically, just a nice little comedic bit where Joey's going, hey, look, the monkey's a chick magnet. What a phrase that is.
Yeah.
Hasn't aged well, that phrase,
that
has it?
That is such a 90s, like early 90s, like, oh, they're a chick magnet. I don't think anyone ever uses that or has ever really used it.
Yeah, and rightly so. Yeah, exactly.
Even just the word chick hasn't aged well at all, has it? Let alone adding magnet, is it?
Yeah.
So he's going, look, the monkey's a chick magnet. She'll be putting in your hands, basically, when she gets back. And then we cut to the scene of the monkey hanging off Celia. And then that kind of just goes away for a bit, doesn't it? And then we return to it a little bit later when Ross has come back round. And the first thing I noticed was the scene is set by a Neil Diamond song.
Yeah.
Which has always just been there in the back of my head. But again, when you go over it and analyse it, you're like, this is like 1994.
Yeah.
I mean, that song is still 30 years old.
Yeah.
Like, the people picking the music have gone, guys, anyone know a really sexy tune?
Yeah, some kind of steamy song for Celia and Ross.
And they've gone, guys, have you heard the latest Neil Diamond record? But it is a banging song. And then we get into this whole thing where, it's, again, as Friends quite often is, quite bold and risque for a mainstream sitcom.
Yeah.
And she basically starts going, talk dirty to me.
Yeah, which I also have to say what I find strange is between, like, I want to know what happened between him getting Marcel off her hair for her to not be like, you know what, I'm gonna go home, maybe we can go out another time. And she's like, no, I'm staying.
Like, yeah, well, that's exactly it. There's like part in your brain when that first scene ends and Marcel's been hanging off her and she's basically gone, I can't do this. Even when I was watching it back, knowing what happens later, I was going, well, that's the end of Celia, isn't it? We should never see Celia again, rightfully.
Yeah. Like, yes, for her own sake. Yeah, for her own sake. If nothing else.
But yeah, then we get into this, the dirty talking sequence, which Ross is very unable to do.
Yeah. Oh, God. It's just, I love his kind of discomfort with it, which I get, because that's a high pressure situation. Mm. Like someone demanding that, you would be a bit like, okay. You know, it hasn't come about organically.
Right.
And him just panicking. And I guess they chose it because he's assigned to, I don't know whose idea it was for him to say vulva, but it is just, every time I watch it, I just think it's such a strange word that is so rarely used in everyday jargon that
it is
for someone
deeply
to think.
Unsexy, isn't it?
Yeah. Like the least sexy word ever. Because even moist, some people at least like moist. I don't think anyone goes, you know what, vulva is the one for me. It's the strangest choice. Whoever wrote that, I love them.
It is kind of just perfect Ross, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're like, you watch the cogs turning in his head.
You can see him clutching, can't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I do not know what to do in this situation. I have got no clue what I should be doing.
Yeah, he's like, the proper word for it, I guess, is vulva.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say that.
But he's also, he's obviously scrolled through so many options in his head. And again, so then, this is kind of going back to your point. Date number one, the monkey's fallen off her hair, having been clinging to it for minutes. Date two, she's asked him to get into some dirty talk and he said vulva and they've cuddled.
Yeah.
How has date three happened?
I don't know what their relationship is at the museum that she's so into being with him. I think if that happened to me, I would find it hilarious but probably leave. I don't think I would stay.
It's a good story, right?
Yeah, it's a great story and maybe would try to think of what, I mean, now I would hope that someone was referencing Friends and would go, well, we need to get married. But if this happened to me just in life, I think I'd just, it'd be a story and that'd be all it would be.
It is a very uncomfortable situation to be put in, isn't it? If somebody, like you say, just demands dirty talk rather than this has come about because, hey, we're feeling this out.
I think you'd sort of write it off in future as well. You'd be like, okay, dirty talk isn't something this person is good at. And yet, Ross, bless him, he does try to become better at it, doesn't he?
Exactly. And then we get this great scene with Joey. So he basically, he doesn't actually go to Joey and ask for help, does he? Joey basically foists help upon
him. He's very willing, yeah. He's very willing to help him.
So Ross is telling him the story and saying vulva and Joey goes, right, come on, let's do this. Let's get this sorted out. And it's just one of those like really great friend scenes. Both the two main scenes in this for me are like two of the fun, like I howled with laughter at both, you know, the John Lovitz being stoned.
Yeah.
But also this bit where, so, you know, if you haven't seen it for a while, what happens is Joey basically starts going, come on, talk a bit dirty to me. And Ross, in a great bit of sort of just directing and blocking, goes, no, you have to turn away from me. So, you know, so I'm not looking at you when I'm doing this. And then Chandler obviously walks up behind them. And it's just so well done. Joey looks so comfortable with it.
Yeah.
It's quite progressive, actually.
Just having their bagels and just talking in the morning. Like, it's so casual.
Yeah, just Joey buttering a bagel and just eating it and munching away as it's going on. And, you know, Joey is really up for this, isn't he?
Yeah.
There's not a, like, tiny little twinge of homophobia from him. He's like, come on, we're going to talk this. Ross, very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Chandler comes and just obviously comes out of the perfect time and watches this whole thing unfold. But it's just that every beat of that scene is so just joyous to watch.
And Matthew Perry's seeming like genuine enjoyment of being in the background of that scene, like his smiling and his laughing along with it, like looks natural. It's like he's in a play and he's finding it funny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like they probably had a lot of fun shooting that scene. And then the moment is when Ross is saying, I want to take my tongue and what he says,
I think it's licking something about all over her body until you're trembling with,
yeah.
And then Chandler hits the chair and they both hear it. And again, it's just so perfect. They both kind of turn around at the same time with the same trepidation of,
yeah.
And they must know it's him, but you know, what does he think this is? And then he just goes, with. Like, finish up. What were you going to say?
I was sort of watching them, you know, when they're both turning around. It's so slow, but they're doing it at basically the exact same time. Like, it looks really like, well, it just must have been really hard to get that right. And then we don't see Celia again, do we? Then no. Ross is off. He does it. And it turns out, in a classic Ross way, takes it too far.
Yeah.
It was really deep. He said he weaves the storylines. He said, yeah. How did it go? He said, I was the best at Dirty Talk ever. I weave these storylines. I at one point, there were plots and there were villagers.
Yeah, the villagers is when you know it's gone way too far, isn't it?
Yeah.
But they tired themselves out and fell asleep and cuddled again. And then, do you know what? That was the point which it was too much for Celia because we never see her again.
She's gone. Yeah. She went to go find Michael Scott. Yeah. That's where she left to.
Right, let's go on to Chandler. Chandler's quitting his job. This is what, the 15th episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of the entirety of Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just known Chandler a very short amount of time, really. He's quit his job and then he ends up going back to it and not quitting again for another 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, quite sad.
Yeah.
When you really
just... he's been there for like 14 years because he's already been there for 5 and he quits.
So miserable when we meet him now after 5 years and then he just goes back. Hopefully the extra money makes it worthwhile. But the main thing here is there's a lot of bloody clues, guys, to what Chandler's job is. And later on when none of them know, he says it a lot.
Yeah.
He says data processing a lot and all of the clues are there. And when it comes to the game and it comes to the apartment swap and none of them know what he does.
Good.
He is not just a transponster, guys. You're just bad friends.
But I wonder if it is one of those jobs that somebody tells you and you just kind of forget because you don't really understand what it is. Like, you've heard the words, but they have gone in one ear and out the other.
But his title is so recognisable that it becomes a joke because we know the title, therefore it's funny when he comes back from that careers advice meeting and says that it's come out with that as the suggestion. He references it again, doesn't he? And there's a big laugh there because he's said his own job title.
Yeah, well, this is what happens, isn't it? So Chandler does quit because he gets offered this promotion and he realises he's been there too long. He quits, visits this careers advisor, does 9 hours of tests or whatever, and it comes out basically with the exact job he already had, which is, again... Another, I feel for Chandler in this episode because he's obviously going, guys, it seemed like I should be doing something really cool. And you're like, yeah, you wouldn't want to be having spent 5 years of your life being really miserable and then end up, that is basically what you're good for.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's such a normal kind of late, I mean, I don't know how old Chandler is. Monica at one point says she's 26 in this season when she's dating the really young guy. But then all their ages are kind of just... late 20s? We don't really know. Chandler, I guess, is a couple years older than her. But so, like, late 20s, mid kind of career crisis of, oh, I got this job maybe when he first moved to New York and he's stuck there.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of in that, you know.
Yeah,
and I get that feeling of like, oh, but I should be doing something really cool with my life.
I think this is probably Chandler at his most relatable. When I was watching it earlier, I thought this is probably the most relatable I've seen him because he seems very... human, and there's this quite almost sad undercurrent of he feels like he should be destined for something bigger and does he settle? Like, that's quite a big sort of life moment he's having there.
Yeah, and we've all been at that thing where you move to a city and you get a job and you're like, oh, this is just a good starting thing when I do it, and they're like, oh no, I'm still here months or years later doing the same thing. I better think about what I'm doing.
Can we have a moment for Chandler's incredible fake typing as the scene is set in his booth, by the way? He is not even trying to make it look like he's typing.
No. Also a moment for his Toronto Blue Jays hat that is in that cubicle because Matthew Perry is Canadian. And
oh, he is, isn't he? Of course.
Yeah, and so he's not from Toronto, but I don't think Ottawa have a baseball team. I think Toronto's the only Canadian baseball team. So he's got a Toronto Blue Jays cap in the background, which I noticed. Yeah, he must have. I don't know, maybe it was him having fun or somebody.
Do we know where Chandler is supposed to be from?
No.
No,
I don't think we do.
Find out.
I don't think it's ever brought up, is it? I wonder if Chandler's Canadian.
Maybe
that's the only clue we've ever had.
Yeah.
The great thing about this podcast is we just accidentally learn little tiny things that we've never noticed. Maybe, guys, Chandler is Canadian.
Yeah.
And
we're saying it here now.
Never referenced.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we get this glimpse of Chandler, don't we, in his cubicle with his Blue Jays hat and his rubber chicken.
Yeah, he's got this like giant burger stack as well in the back. I used to think the prank memos thing before I knew what memos were when I watched this as a child.
Mm.
Like, one was the rubber chicken, he's trying to cover it. And I've only realized, oh no, the memos are on his desk.
Yes, he's covering it the with chicken. The stuff. Yeah, it's one of those things in Friends that's never really explained. And you just sort of go, oh yeah, fine.
Yeah, of course, Chandler's a joker. Of course he has a rubber chicken at work. Why wouldn't you?
The office joker.
Yeah.
I imagine that place of work is rife with pranks and lols, isn't it?
Exactly.
I love his attempt to compliment his supervisor as well. He
A
very flattering sleeve length on you is a great clutch for a compliment.
His secretary later on, who he calls in as well, just the disdain that she has. She doesn't even have a line entering and exiting that room. You know, okay, he's done this maybe 15 times already. Like, you just know what's going on.
So there, that's when he's showing Phoebe his office later, isn't it? And he buzzes through and goes, Helen, could you come through for a moment? And she just walks in going, come on, mate. Stop it now.
Like, last time, I promise.
So Chandler gets offered this promotion by his boss. He quits. And then amidst all this dirty talk being talked by Joey to Ross, Chandler gets a call from his boss again, who basically, just from what we're led to believe, keeps just increasing the amount for his pay. So it's a bloody good career move, to be fair, to him. He's not just taking this promotion. He's probably got a hell of a lot more money.
Well, we know later he has money when they get married. And they're trying to figure out how much he's saying how he has money for the wedding because Monica's parents have given all. And he's like, oh, I have a bit saved.
Yeah.
And then they all, like, all the women are like, oh, hello, Chandler. Because he's, like, got X amount of dollars in the bank that, you know, makes sense. He's got this huge promotion, obviously.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And 8 years earlier.
Fair play. And, you know, again, it's the foreshadowing you talked about. This is paving the way for him being able to pay for his wedding.
There. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Quickly, we haven't got long. Please listen to the all-new Angelos and Barry podcast.
It's a funny one.
Oh my God, it's hilarious. There's so much muck in it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Right, on to the main, the headline story, the best bit, the stoned guy. And actually, interestingly, something we've talked about on this podcast before, quite often the title of the Friends episode isn't named after like the big main story, but in this case, it really is.
Yeah.
And this is the best bit. And it's such a good guest appearance. John Lovitz is so great.
It is a proper scene-stealing appearance from him, isn't it?
Because he's not really in it that much, which is what's so shocking. Like, he's in it for maybe, you know, a few minutes.
Yeah.
And he's everything to me in this episode and in my life.
So this is probably one of those things. I mean, you're a good person to talk about this episode because I presume... So he gets this big whoop and a cheer when he walks in. Is that because he was on SNL?
Yeah, he was on SNL from 85 to 1990. So he would have been
Like his famous heyday.
Yeah, that's kind of what he became known for. But I also found out, which I didn't know until very recently, that he was the guy who encouraged Lisa Kudrow to be an actress.
Really?
Because I kind of thought, oh, interesting choice to have him on. Obviously, he did SNL and he does all these characters. So someone must have just thought John Lovitz is a great choice.
Yeah.
She was going to be a doctor because she thought that was a responsible decision for her life and her future children. But he is her older brother's like childhood best friend. And she'd seen him get SNL and thought, oh, maybe this can happen for people. And he said, why don't you just try going to the Groundlings in LA? You know, it's classes, so you don't have to work there. And she started doing that. And then the rest is history.
I mean, that is a great bit of background.
He, you know, we owe Phoebe to John Lovitz.
That's so great, isn't it? And it's like, it's another one of those things where they've obviously folded it in, and it's Phoebe brings in Steve, the character, as well. Yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but it's a nice little touch.
Yeah, that's what I started wondering. I thought, was she the one who went, oh, guys, he'll definitely do this because my brother's been his best friend since they were, you know, kids.
Great.
Don't know. But yeah, never knew that.
So before we meet, it's literally, he's in it for one main scene and then the little post-credits roll very briefly. It's like the whole pivot thing again, isn't it, Pete, where you go, pivot is such a momentous moment in Friends history, but it doesn't come until like 18 minutes into the episode.
Yeah, and it lasts for about two.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, really?
It's real short. And this is the same sort of thing again, because this is the proper scene-stealing bit of the episode, but it doesn't come till a good whack in beforehand. This actually all starts because Chandler's lost his job. If you remember, if we go all the way back to basically the second scene in the episode, Chandler comes in, tells him he's lost his job, and Phoebe goes, oh, you know what you should do? And there's this great scene where Phoebe's trying to make Chandler
completely
agree to become the head chef of Steve's restaurant. Yeah. And Monica's sitting there going, hello? And it's just really wonderful because you get this really nice dynamic between the three of them. And one of my favorite moments actually in the opening bit of the episode is where Chandler basically goes, no, I don't know anything about food. I can't be a chef. And there's this amazing pause. And then Phoebe turns back to Monica and goes, oh, hey, Monica, guess what? And it's just so well delivered and it's so nicely done. But that's how we find out Phoebe's massage client has just bought a new restaurant. He's looking for a head chef. It just feels like if you're going to buy a restaurant, at least have a plan.
Yeah, although knowing Steve, as we do later, he doesn't seem like a guy. I feel like he must have been a guy who kind of struck gold, had like a vaguely million-dollar idea.
Right.
And then all this money. Kind of like Pete, except we don't see that backstory and just thought, I'm going to buy a restaurant.
I know. You do wonder where Steve's got his money from.
Because when we meet him later, I mean, he loses his restaurant to drugs and all his money, and he's making t-shirts in a studio apartment with three other guys.
I feel so maybe like a long-lost relative died and left him like $500,000
or
something.
Yeah, he's come into this money kind of through no hard work, maybe.
Yeah, and he's gone
just
to buy a restaurant and spunked it all away on drugs and getting high. Monica is planning this audition where he comes. I mean, who knew chefs did auditions in their own kitchens?
Yeah, so very odd.
Yeah, it's very very bold move of him to be welcomed into her home, isn't it?
Yeah, just sort of like, well, he's obviously sort of made that demand as well. He's sort of gone, you cook me dinner.
Maybe it's because Phoebe knows him. It feels more,
I don't know,
but how much do they talk when she's massaging him? I don't know what they're...
Yeah, do you know when you get a massage, you don't really talk to your masseuse that much,
No, I would never go, oh, hey, I'm opening a restaurant if you know anyone. That would be great. And we can go to theirs and just have a great time.
Like, well, the relationship she has with, especially with Steve, is quite interesting because it's obviously very familiar because once this all transpires and it all goes wrong, the very final scene of the episode is Phoebe basically assaulting Steve on the massage table.
Elbowing him
in the back going, does this hurt? Does this hurt? As, you know, as revenge.
Surely after that, she would lose him as a client as well.
Well, this is the thing. He's still paying for that massage.
And she also keeps him for years because when she sets him up with Rachel, she again refers to him as her massage client.
Yeah.
So he's still there eight years later.
Steve's got issues, man. Yeah. There is some deep-seated problems with Steve psychologically, I think. So Monica's preparing for this audition and she hires a girl from the restaurant, Wendy, to waitress, and Rachel gets really annoyed, understandably perhaps, and there's this great little back and forth where Monica says, you know, I just needed more of a professional waitress, and there's a really lovely line about, well, yeah, and I've been maintaining my amateur status so I can waitress at the Olympics. And this scene, guys, is literally why I know where the 1976 Winter Olympics were
held. Yes, exactly. I've always watched it and never really understood what he meant. And then I was like, I should look this up before I go on this podcast because I don't want to be a fool.
It's more impressive that he can recall where the 1976 Winter Olympics were held.
Yeah,
I don't even remember when they were in Canada, which was so exciting
so
for
quickly.
Us. I can be like, I was waited tables in Vancouver 20-something.
Yeah, when was Vancouver Winter Olympics? Yeah, that's in our lifetime, isn't it? We had the Commonwealth Games in Manchester, where I'm from, in 2002. I remember that because I've got some Commonwealth Games socks.
Yeah, we had the Commonwealth Games in, or the Invictus Games, sorry, in Toronto, which was where one of the maybe it wasn't the first, but Meghan Markle and Prince Harry were spotted together. Oh. It was one of their first kind of like, oh, they're together kind first of things, because she was in Toronto filming Suits and my friend saw them.
But this is now, and it has, it's one time in my life become useful, and I can't remember when now, maybe a pub quiz or something, but some, you know, so the line is Chandler says, oh, I waited tables in Innsbruck in 76. And
yeah,
it's just lodged in my brain forever now.
Yeah.
Winter Olympics, Innsbruck, Austria, 1976. Done.
This is also one of those maybe smaller Friends references that I will never unhear when Monica offers him the amuse-bouche and he eats it and goes, well, it certainly is amusing. Like, I was watching a cooking show and they were making an amuse-bouche and it just ran through. I was like, yep, that's the one.
Yep.
It's just one of those that I will never, ever hear or be able to order an amuse-bouche without maybe laughing a little bit about it.
Yeah, and Chandler makes that lovely reference to, oh, I had a grape about
an hour ago. So I'll have to split this with you.
So we get to Wendy bails, doesn't she? And then Monica basically has to double the pay and beg Rachel to come and waitress for her at this thing, which is all very convenient because they didn't have to pay an extra actor.
Yeah.
And everyone can be in this.
Imagine if they were like, Jennifer, you're not going to be in this. Yeah. We've got somebody else in.
Wendy's doing it, guys. Wendy from work.
Wendy's coming in.
And then, John Lovitz comes in. And there are, talking of Friends quotable moments in this scene, there are so many bits that I still come into my mind fairly regularly. There's, you know, smack my ass and call me Judy. Tartlets.
I it's not often I hear the word tartlet, but that is one thing that is forever synonymous with Friends. Like, that is your immediate thought when you hear that word. It's him. And not only that, the way he says it too.
Yeah.
Apparently he improvised a lot of his stuff. I read that somewhere and I'm curious as to A, whether it's true, but also what was and what wasn't.
Right.
You know, what did John Lovitz just come out with? What was written in?
That feels like it fits, though, because that's the really nice thing about this scene is that the three women feel so out of... Then they have no control over what he's doing and what's happening. And that's the funny thing, is that they've kind of let this like wild animal roam around their kitchen who's poking into cupboards and stuff like that. That's the funny part of it, is watching them trying to deal with it, I think.
Yeah, I feel like when he bursts open the bag of gummy bears and then tosses the Sugar-O's in.
Grab on, guys, save yourselves!
Grab on to the Sugar-O's. Oh, that feels like something that might have been improvised.
Yeah.
You know, in like a rehearsal or in a little run-through. I mean, the other bit that makes me laugh out loud is the way John Lovitz just says the word no. When so he's stolen the gummy bears, he's put them in his jacket, and he sits down and starts. It's just brilliantly done, where he just starts trying to surreptitiously eat them. You know, like
thinking no one knows,
like
what's
at the back
going
of a
on.
Classroom, you know. And then she's obviously just stood right over his shoulder, and she goes, "Give me the gummy bears." And he just looks at him and goes, "No." And it's just, it's so like, there's no way that you could. That's one of those things where you think on the script, that's just
the word no.
The word no.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe that is one of the improvised bits, because it's just so funny, and it wouldn't necessarily have been very funny just being like, give me the gummy bears. No.
For me, it's also how he greets Rachel, and he's like, hello, greeter girl.
Weird greeter girl.
The way he says it, he's like kind of unbothered by it, but not asking her name. He just decides that's how he's going to address her. Yeah. And just how we find out that he's, because you wouldn't know, he's this odd guy coming in, fine, we don't know anything about Steve.
No.
And then Phoebe's telling Rachel that he's got high, and she's like, oh no, I don't think so. And then it just turns around, and he goes, is it dry in here? And it's just like opening his mouth in the middle of Monica's apartment.
It's been it was really nice to watch this episode back, because between the Joey and Ross dirty talk scene and this scene, there's just two of the best scenes in all of Friends, I think.
Yeah.
And like that early first season of Friends, I don't watch that as much as I watch back the other ones. They're not on television as much over here, certainly. And it's just, what a bloody delight now it has been to watch this episode.
You're so welcome for my choice.
Actually, this has just reminded me, because before you picked this episode, you sent me a text, didn't you, and saying you'd nearly picked a different one.
The one where Ross got high, ironically. Yeah. I didn't even think of that.
I had to pick a one with marijuana involved.
Yeah, Canadian, it's legal, so I'm plugging Canada. Because I've made Rachel's trifle for friends of mine at Thanksgiving, because I'm Canadian and there's no Thanksgiving here, but I've cooked Canadian Thanksgiving the last couple of years for friends of mine. And I did it last year when I moved for the first time and thought, I'm going to do this. And I'd made pumpkin pie as well, which is what we eat. And I told some people, but not everyone knew. And so some of my friends were trying to like pawn this off. And I said, oh, so I've made pumpkin pie, which is traditional for Canada, but I thought I'd do a traditional English, like trifle, because it's melding the two worlds together. Amazing. And like, thank you guys so much for coming. And because I just moved and kind of made this whole little mini sentimental speech. And one of my friends knew and was trying to pawn it off on people. And he was just trying not to laugh looking at me. And then my one friend went, oh, great, I love trifle. And I thought, oh, no. And then my friend's boyfriend, who I'd met for the first time that day, who's the loveliest man in the world, I think felt bad that no one was eating the trifle. So right. Came over and he was like, oh, I'm going to have some, like scooped it onto his plate. And I just sat there like, this guy doesn't know me. He doesn't know. He's just going to think if he doesn't get it, we're over.
Done. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he just looked at me and he's like, is that, oh my God, have you done? And it's like, you don't even have to finish. I went, yes, it isn't even, that's amazing. And then just, but obviously didn't want to eat it. So yeah. Then just kind of, I think, put it down and sort of sauntered back.
Pushed it back across the table. Seat.
Yeah. But then my friend got really upset because she loves trifle and had wanted to eat it. And I said, well, we can try it. I've never thought to try it. And it does taste like feet. It tastes, because I kind of had Joey's thought of like, actually, maybe it won't taste that bad. And it is, it's horrible. It tastes awful. I think it's like the meat juice, because that will seep in everywhere. It is disgusting. Oh, the meat juice.
Yeah, because in my head there's like the layers, so you could almost just have like the top half and have some of the nice stuff, or, you know, or like there'll be layers that, but yeah, you're right.
Now we've had the trifle and Chris Smith made Ross's sandwich. We're putting together quite the menu here.
Should we do the quiz?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
You did just sort of almost visibly clench up there. You're just like, oh dear.
The nerves are real.
Question one is a two-parter, actually.
Okay.
And it's about Chandler's colleagues. What are the names of Chandler's supervisor and boss?
So the woman, the supervisor, is Miss Tedlock.
Yes.
And the boss is Mr. Kostelik, or Big Al.
Yeah, I was going to say first name for a bonus. Yeah, Al Kostelik. I mean, Mrs. Tedlock is a great get from you, because that is a one reference. You must have just written that
I
down.
I did write it down because I thought, I think I know her name, but I might blank. It's one of those where I go back, I'm like, okay, I have to hear it in my head, and I'm sure it's in there. It's like muscle memory, this show for me. It's like, I'm sure it's in there somewhere, but if I write it down, I will remember.
Question two, which author does Ross liken himself to when it comes to dirty talk?
James Michener.
Is correct.
Because I looked him up because I didn't know who he was.
An author I do not know very much about.
Who is he referencing?
He wrote the book that the musical South Pacific was...
Really?
Yeah. It's called Tales from the South Pacific, and they turned that into the musical South Pacific. Question three, potentially a controversial one. What does Wienus stand for?
Okay, controversial because there are two I've found. So it's Weekly Estimated Net Usage Systems. Good. But also, apparently, the real one is Weekly Estimated Net Usage Statistics.
That is... Look, you're romping through this quiz so far. So in this first episode where it comes up, Chandler calls it the Weekly Estimated Net Usage System. But then it's referenced again, and like loads more throughout the series, and it's always statistics, apparently. Mm-hmm. So.
That seems like an odd thing to not stick to the like one... meaning. Yeah. Like,
apparently,
why wouldn't you
Matthew
do it?
Matthew Perry just got it wrong, right? And they just kept it. Apparently, I read that somewhere, because I was
really?
Trying to figure out, like,
sense.
Is it real? Is it an invented word by Friends? I don't work in data processing, so I don't know.
3 out of 3 so far, with, you know, extra bonus points for specific detail.
Question four, what road is the restaurant on that Steve is opening?
Oh, 10th Street.
Correct.
That's absolutely correct.
Tried to also think of what might be asked. I was like, what are tiny things? Because I knew coming in that you'd heard I was a big fan. So I was like, okay, I need to think of like the most minuscule details that will come up in this.
We're really pushing you this time, you know. 4 out of 4, though.
It's... Challenge accepted.
Challenge extended. Question 5, and the final one for a clean sweep. What is the name of the career counsellor that Chandler visits?
Oh, my God. I think I wrote this down because I was sure it would come up. And he calls him career counselor a go-go. I think it's gone from my mind. I wrote it down.
Yeah, I mean, it's so skirted over. It's such a tiny detail.
Oh, I don't know if it's in there. I think it's gone. I was so focused on what Monica served Steve at first. I was like, that's going to come up.
Oh, what was it? Which was?
The rock shrimp ravioli with the cilantro ponzu sauce with just a hint of minced ginger. It's like, remember it.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you the point.
It's going to be in there.
Hands up. That would have been a much better question.
No, but this obviously is because I don't remember his name.
It is Dr. Robert Pillman.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. But do you know what? I don't think there's any shame in not getting that.
Not
because
at all.
Even having written the question down, I had to keep checking my notes because I kept forgetting it. So, hey, do you know what? 4 out of 5 with many bonus points and, you know, it's a pretty good showing, I'd say that.
Thank you.
You have not disgraced yourself. You've done very well. That's it for this episode of Friends with Friends. Nat, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Nat, for having me.
Have you enjoyed this experience?
Had a great, great time.
Thank you for joining us. And more next week after the music. There's some more information coming. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, we're still here. Next week on Friends with Friends, comedian Adam Hess. Adam Hess, which episode will you be talking about, please?
I'll be talking about the one with the rugby.
Season 4, episode 15, the one with all the rugby. Go watch it, revise, prep yourselves, and we will be back next week, won't we, Peter?
We will. Goodbye.
All the best. Goodbye now.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.